Take your Bible this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter number 1 this morning. And I always enjoy preaching on Mother's Day and Father's Day and different things like that and special messages. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a topic that is so important in our family's lives. And this message is for everyone, yes, but specifically I'm going to be speaking to fathers this morning, grandfathers, and future fathers as well. And today is the day that we honor our fathers. They have an essential role in our lives. It's not just an optional role or a good role. It's essential. And I pray that you have good memories of your father, because our fathers, they're our leaders and our directors. But how does one become a leader? How does one come to that place of leadership? You know, some people say leaders are born, and some people, you know, you say a young child, you say, well, they're a born leader. They have that leadership ability. Yes, some people have the gift of leadership, but this message is for a father or father-to-be, or hope to be someday fathers, because we need leadership today. We need leadership. In years gone by, leadership was something that was taught and expected, but today, leadership is lacking in many areas in our country. We see a lot of men that are not willing to lead in different areas or just kind of go with the flow. We need leadership in our churches. We need leadership. And there are some churches that just kind of, well, whatever, they kind of run democratically, or they just, well, what, you know, whatever happens in my Sunday school class or whatever class I have or whatever ministry I'm in, it's just going to happen. We also need leadership in our families, There's too many families out there today that the father is just kind of like, well, whatever happens, happens, or mom has to lead the home, or the children lead the home, all kinds of things that happen. But did you know that leadership, especially leadership as a father, is a call of God? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, God's call to leadership. God's call to leadership. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 1 this morning, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24 down through verse number 33 this morning. Now, Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and this morning we're going to look at some wisdom, and we're going to look at specifically in this passage what happens with those that reject the wisdom of God and reject the call to wisdom in certain areas, especially this area of leadership. And God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. For whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let us pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you would bless the message today. Lord, you've laid this upon my heart and been laying it upon my heart for many weeks, and I pray that you would use me and give me the right words to say this morning, and that this message would be a challenge. This message would be a life-changing moment for men in here today. Lord, this is a call that you have given to every single father to lead their families, to lead through this treacherous world that we live in. So many fathers are absent. So many fathers are neglecting their responsibilities, saying it's not my job. But Lord, we're going to see this morning that it is their job, as a job that you have given to them. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. Give me the right word to say and open hearts, dear Lord, and that decisions would be made today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's call to leadership. God calls men to leadership. Specifically, we're talking about fatherhood. We're going to talk about leadership in a more broad sense. But what is a leader? You know, we have a lot of different thoughts about what a leader is or should be. There's definitions upon definitions upon definitions, but we're going to look at some things today. And there's many ideas about leadership in our world today. You go ask someone off the street, well, what's a leader? Well, a leader, man, they're the man in charge. They're the head honcho, right? They're the guy that's in charge of everything. The man with the power, you know, or, oh no, they're a leader because they're big and they're bad and they got muscles, they've got money, they have all these things. And maybe some people say, well, no, it's the person who is the most skilled, who has the most skills, has the most gifts. Someone else might say, well, it's someone who is the smartest or maybe the most conniving, right? We see the different leaders at different places. Well, the most conniving, who can, a leader is someone who can get their own way and get away with it. Or maybe the most shrewd, or maybe the best backstabber, murder, cheat, and steal to get there. That's a leader. That's what the world says, but that's not what the Bible says. We're going to look at what a leader is. Is this what God wants, any of these things? No. But here's a simple definition, and there's some definitions that come from our dictionary. One that leads or conducts as a conductor of a orchestra, they lead it and they direct it. A guide, a conductor. Another definition is a chief, a commander, a captain. Another is one who goes first as a leader. Interesting definition there. Now that's the definition of a leader. Now what about the word lead? It's a verb. Now leader is a noun, remember noun? Who remembers our English? A person, place, thing, or idea, right? Hated that class, Pastor. Don't remind me about that. But that's the noun. Now, to lead someone is a verb. It's an, what kind of verb? Action verb. Very good. So it means it requires an action, right? If you said linking, you need to go back to, there we go. And it's not a linking verb. And how many say, I have no idea what you're talking about. But it's okay. But lead, to lead someone, is an action. And it means to guide by the hand, as to lead a child. It often includes the sense of drawing as well as directing, as drawing someone to yourself and leading them on. In order to draw someone to yourself, you have to be in front of them, right? Have to be going first. So we see what a leader is, someone who goes first and someone who leads someone along to guide by the hand. Has the idea of drawing and of directing. And second is to guide or conduct by showing the way. To direct, as the Israelites were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night by the Lord. These are powerful definitions, and we're going to come back to them in a moment. So a leader is someone, what do we know now? That's someone that's out front, someone that conducts or directs. Yes, someone that is in charge in a position, but doesn't force people out in front of him, doesn't send people where they're not willing to go, not asking people to do things they haven't done or unwilling to do themselves. But what do we see here? A leader is someone who is an example, is someone who shows and directs the way. These are powerful definitions. And why are there misconceptions about leadership? Why do people get this mixed up? Why is it, well, I'm a leader, I'm trying to be, because people do not know what leadership is anymore. They're like, they don't know what a leader is. They think a leader, they think, you know, they think of the George Washington on his horse. Yes, he was a leader, but why was he a leader? They don't know. They just see that figure. They see it as a position, and we can lead without a position. But the position of fatherhood we're looking at today is a God. His call is a God-given one, but also there's a God's call to lead your family. We challenge people to lead, but they don't know how. How many of us we've heard sermons on leadership? You need to lead your family. You need to lead. You need to lead. You know, and they, you know, preacher jumps up, down, screams and yells sometimes, right? And does that, and they say, you need to lead your home. You need to lead, but they don't say how, right? Now, sometimes some of the preaching we have today, you know, we've gotten to the place where we need to define how. And that's what this message is about today. Your family wants you to lead, Dad. If you're a dad in here today, your family wants you to lead. Do you know that? They say, well, they don't listen to me. They want you to lead. Your wife wants you to lead. Your children want you to lead. Well, they never told me that. Well, how they act in many different areas shows you that they want you to. Your Sunday school class wants you to lead. Your church wants you to lead. Your pastor wants you to lead. Your God wants you to lead. How? Well, that's where we get to God's call here. The call to leadership. So first, we looked at some definitions. The first point we're looking at today is the call of leadership. Now, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1, and we see what happens to those that God is calling to. God is trying to instruct. God is trying to impress, trying to impart some knowledge and say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to lead my own way. I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to go with the popular trends of the time. I'm going to go with what the culture says. I'm going to go with what the world says leadership is. I'm going to run my home the way I want, or I'm just going to sit back and do nothing, let my wife run the home, or I'm going to sit back and just let everything happen the way it happens. I'm going to let my kids do whatever they want, and then everything will turn out fine. That's not what Proverbs 1 says. There is going to be calamity in your life. There's going to be calamity in your house. There's going to be calamity in the lives of your kids and of your wife. Why? Because you won't lead. Well, how do we avoid that? God calls fathers to lead. Leadership is a calling that is given by God. Every single godly leader has been called by God, and they've answered. If you're a father here today, I want you to understand something. Do not believe the diminishing of the role of a father today. In our culture, fathers are dirt. I'm just going to be very plain about that. Our culture treats fathers like dirt, and the position they have as dirt. You look at any sitcom, you look at any media today, you say, Pastor, you kind of flipped a switch there. Yes, because this gets me upset, is to see how degrading fathers are today. Degraded. Fathers are degraded while they sit and they're dumb and they don't know what's going on. They sit and drink a beer and don't care. That's not what a father is supposed to be. That's not what my father did. My father worked his hands to the bone every single day of his life. And he was still there for us. Every single day. My father did not know what it was to be lazy. Didn't know what it was. Never saw my dad be lazy one time. Also, my father led our home. I never had any doubt who was in charge of our house. Not one doubt one time. You know, and some other kids, and it's like, who decides the direction of your house? You know, kids talk about that, you know. You know that, especially in teenagers. Well, who makes the decision in your house? Oh, I make the decision in my house. And one kid said, I said, well, my dad makes the decision in mine. My mom and my dad. Mom makes number two decisions, but number one decision is dad's. He led our house. Now, do you realize if you're a father here today, our culture has degraded your position. And you know what's happening is men in our churches and men in our world today, and they begin to believe, hey, this is what's expected of me. Not much. This is what it's mom's job to discipline the kids. It's mom's job to teach them. It's mom's job this. I work hard all day. I come down. I sit. That's it. Sorry. Your job is not just to go out and make money. If you go in and make money, that's great. The Bible says that those that don't provide for their own house are worse than an infidel. They're worse than a non-believer if they don't provide for their family. But however, your responsibility does not end there. You are, by the way, fatherhood is not an 8-to-5 job. Amen? It's a 24/7, 365, the rest of your life job. And it's a calling. Just like the pastor, it's a calling that God has called me to do and called Pastor Harvey and other people to do. Just like a missionary has a calling, God has called fathers and husbands to leadership the same way. And by the way, just as important. Amen? Don't ever diminish the place of a father in your life. Kids, don't ever you think of diminishing the role of your father in your life. Here's why. Because whether or not your kids turn out, it depends on mom and dad, but mostly on dad, whether or not you turn out. I understand there might be some people in here that you've turned out in spite of what your father was, okay? I understand that. And that's the mercy and grace of God, and we praise him for that. However, if you're a young man or a man in here and you're starting out in your fatherhood, you make sure you start it out right because your kids depend on it. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. But let's look at some people that God called to leadership. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. God called Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of the nation of Israel, and now every single tribe of Israel descended from Abraham. And God chose him for that. And Abraham had a relationship with the Lord, and he walked with the Lord. And God called him and told him to do something. He said, I am calling you to this. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, calling him to lead. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it said, what's verse number 4 say? So Abram departed. He listened. God said, you have a position of leadership. Abraham was a leader. He led his family. He led his wife. He led, was also a very wealthy man. He was a wise man. God had blessed him in that. But he was a leader. God called him to be a leader and the eventual father of the entire nation. We see Abram led in many things. He led in giving sacrifice to God. He led in faith to God. He led in his relationship and holiness to God. He led in all of those things. But he was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. And the Ur of the Chaldees at that time was the cultural center of the world. Was a big place. Was a lot of paganism there. And God called him to depart. He had a nice place. He was staying there and living in the Ur of Chaldees was a city. Now God was calling him into a nomadic existence to live in tents and to dwell in tents. And he didn't say, well, I have too many things going on in my life right now, Lord, to lead. I can't do that. He didn't say, well, I can't do that right now because, I've got all these business decisions, and I like where I live, and I don't think I need to move out right now. I'll get back to you later about that. No, it is that Abram departed. And what Abram didn't know, and God did, that 7 years later, that place would be overrun with a famine, and Ur of the Chaldees would almost cease to exist 7 years later. That's not in the Bible. That's historical history. And then after that, that city never gained prominence again and was constantly the victim of different nomadic raiding tribes that would raid the place, and it never came back to prominence ever again. And eventually, went off the face of the map. What if Abram had stayed? And it is interesting to think, what if these men had not done what God told them to do? Where would we be? God would do his will by someone else, but the Bible would not record a man named Abram. Because if he didn't lead, if he said, well, that's just not for me. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 10. Another man that was called to leadership. Now, Abram just didn't get up one day and say, hey, I'm going to be the father of a nation today. No, God called him to it. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. We see Moses. Moses on the backside of the desert. And he had run. He had made a mistake. He had in self-defense there and had killed an Egyptian, had run and fled. Now he's on the back side of the desert now. And now God, speaking to him through a burning bush that was not consumed, told him what he wanted him to do. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. So now Moses was called to be a national leader. That's a big change, isn't it? To being a shepherd of sheep in the backs of the desert to leading a nation of several million people. Just like that. Because God called him to do it. And Moses had some excuses why he couldn't do it. So I don't speak well. Some people believe he had a speech impediment. That's usually how it's depicted, that he had some kind of speech impediment. I don't believe he did. I believe he had an excuse why he didn't want to do what he did. And God said, okay, fine. Your brother's going to speak for you, but you're going to have to be the leader. Moses, you're going to have to lead. And maybe some reason why he didn't want to lead, because he tried before to right a wrong and lead and stand out there, and he made a mistake, and an Egyptian ended up dead, and he had to run for it. Well, look what leadership got me. But instead, God says, I want you to do this. Do it my way. And Moses said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. What about Judges chapter 6 in Gideon? God called Gideon to defeat the Midianites. You know, we know the Sunday school song about Gideon and driving out the host of Midian with only 300 men. We know that. Man, that's a great story and it's exciting, but we see that God called them to do it. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Actually, am I in Judges? Wait a minute, 16. Judges 16. I knew I was a little too early. I said, I think that's too early on the book. Maybe not. 1 Samuel? I don't know. I think it's in Judges. Typo. Okay, here we go. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abizanite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So God calls him to leadership. But Gideon also has some excuses. Lord, I'm of the smallest tribe, and I'm the least one in the tribe. I'm not a great man. I don't have all the... Remember, he had his own ideas of leadership. I'm not a great and prominent man. I'm not popular and all of these things, but he loved the Lord. And God chose him. What about Isaiah 6? With Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Jeremiah, send me. Isaiah said, I'll go to be a prophet. Paul, in Acts 16, God called him to be a leader, to be an apostle, to be a missionary to the Gentiles. But that's not fatherhood. Well, here's the calling to fatherhood. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. God has a calling for you to lead your family. And that starts with your husband and wife relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Our culture says kids can come by whoever. However, God's plan is husband and wife get married, then have kids. Amen? That's the Bible plan. That's the Bible way, not the other way around. I was talking, and this is so sad. I was on the bus last week, was talking to one of our bus kids, and I said, oh yeah, my sister has 7 other siblings. And I was like, oh, so you have more kids at home? No, her mama is my mama, but those other 7 kids have different mamas. And I have 3 or 4 brothers, but they all have different mothers too, but they're my half-brothers and half-sisters. So they have like 10 or 11 other half-brothers and sisters. And my dad and my sister's dad are different. And it's just mind-boggling. We run into this all the time. It's so sad. That's our culture today. That's what it is. And you wonder, and you just think about something. You say, how does a family reunion go? How does that happen? But they don't have, because the sense of family is gone. The pattern of family is completely destroyed by sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20 through 25. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, verse 20, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also hath also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that word submit is a dirty word today. And so, well, that means that men are to be the Lord over all and that the wife is to kiss his feet. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. What that means is that the man charts a direction and the wife follows. And that the husband leads by example. The husband draws his wife along through a trusting relationship. You know, you have these different books up there, you know, created to be his footstool and all these other things. That's not the name of the book, but it's a play off another title of a book. And these different things in Christendom of what leadership is. It opens the door for abuse and all kinds of things. That's not what God's plan is and not what God's pattern is. God's pattern is meekness and kindness and gentleness, but leading in a particular direction. And that's God's call for men to lead your wife. And that begins in leading your family. But that also goes into, look at Proverbs 22. Also not only to lead your wife, but to lead your children. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. A verse we know very well, but a verse that is our call to leadership. Verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What about Ephesians 6? Memorize that this morning. It's actually on the bulletin you have today. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your call to leadership. Now, how are you supposed to train up in a child in the way that he's supposed to go if you don't lead him that way? Think about this. If you have a firearm, a pistol, or something like that, or you have a bow and arrow, and you're wanting to hit something, you have to aim it. Aim at it, right? You have to make a decision that you're going to put the bullet in the gun and that you're going to pick up the gun and then you're going to find a target and you're going to point at it. You're going to make adjustments. If you're using a rifle, maybe for the wind or different things like that, you're going to make adjustments. And then what you're going to do is you're going to fire at it. It takes some decision making. It takes some effort to, and sometimes even if it's a moving target, what do you have to do? You have to lead the target. You have to make a decision there. And the same thing for kids. The Bible describes children as arrows in the quiver of a man. And you know what? What are arrows made for? They're made to be shot, right? What are you going to shoot them at? What direction are you going to send them in? That's up to you. Because it's in the father's. Father has the quiver, and it's the father who has the bow. And it's the father who shoots the arrow. What direction are you going to send them in? You know who's your spotter? You know when in archery you have a spotter many times? You know who the spotter is? That's your wife. Because she's going to see things that you don't see. She's got the binocular. And she's going to, hey, that's not the right one. Nope, that's not the right direction. What? I don't see anything. I see it. I've got my special guide-given binocular right here. That's what your wife does. Right? Hey, you don't see it, but I can see it. Yeah, right. You can see it. They can. Anybody's been married any length of time, you can see it. They can see things that guys can't. And you know what? You say, you know what? If you're in an archery competition and you watch the Olympics, and by the way, when they shoot the Olympic bows, man, those aren't bows. Those are just something else. Anyway, they like rotate, do this other thing. Anyway, so they shoot it, and you know what the spotter says? Hey, you're off target. You got to move over. You know what? I can win this gold medal on my own. I don't need you. Guess what? They're not going to win anything. Because, and you know what? That archer has to trust the spotter. When they see something, they have to follow it and do it so that they can win. It's a team effort. What way are you going to train your children in a particular track or direction? We talked about this a little bit Friday night. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, fathers, you're going to have to lead by giving an answer. You know what? Do you know something? That children ask questions. Did you know that? My kids don't ask me any questions because they don't think you have an answer, so they're not going to ask you. But if you're in the right position in your home, and they're going to ask you some questions. And you know, they're going to ask you some hard questions. The hardest questions I've ever had to answer have not come from a church member. They've come from my 6-year-old son. And when he was 4 and 5 years old, I asked these questions, like deep questions. I mean, children have some depth to them. Don't think they don't get it. They do. And I asked this question, well, what about this, Dad? I don't know. I'll find that out for you. And then usually Bible questions. I'm like, man, I didn't have questions like this. Maybe I did. I asked my mom and I said, yeah, you had questions like that. And you know what I said? Go ask your father. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, my wife has done that a couple of times. Go ask your father. He knows. Deuteronomy chapter 6. But you know what the Bible says? That children are going to ask questions. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come. Not now, but later. So he's talking to people that have children that are they're going to have. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? Different, by the way, each one of those, which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, now it gives the answer too. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord shewed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, and that he might bring us in to give us a land where he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God. He hath commanded us. He has commanded us. So when you're at children, ask a Bible question. Well, why do we do that, Mom and Dad? Why do we dress the way we do? Why do we not listen to those things? Why do we go soul winning? Why do we go to church? You know, people ask that question. Why do you go to church? Most people don't even know why they go to church. You know, the Bible says something to say about that. But their kids ask questions, why do we do these things? You better have an answer, Dad. Because these commands were given to fathers and to mothers as well, but to fathers specifically. Tell them what God has done. This is why we do it, not because I said so, but because the Bible says so. And here's what the Bible says. That's your job as a father, to do that. This is your calling, straight from God. Will you answer the call? Well, how do we become the right kind of leader? How do we become a leader? Well, that's our third point. You need to be a follower first, and following to lead. In order to be the right kind of leader, we need to learn to follow. We do not have the right to think of ourselves as a big shot, to think that we are the best or to think that we have it all figured out. You're going to get yourself in a big mess real fast. Some people think they have a corner on truth. Others think that they have it all handled. But Romans 12:3, what? Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But to what? Depend on God. All of us need the help of the Lord. And here's a thought that doesn't come to us naturally. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 30. Matthew 19 and verse number 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Well, in order to be a leader, I have to be the number one. I have to be the head guy. No, those people are going to be last. But the people who are humble enough to be and to think of themselves as in last place and needing God's help, they're going to be elevated to what? The place of leadership. And God does that. That's not a thought that comes naturally to us. In order to lead our wives, families, ministries, jobs, etc., we must learn to follow. But who are we to follow? You know what? I know exactly who we're going to follow. Pastor, we're going to follow our president, Donald Trump. We're going to follow him, right? Going to follow his example? No. Well, isn't he a good guy? Who knows? I don't really know. Do you know? I mean, that's what the media thinks they know. I think he has some character, but definitely has some issues in his family life, if you looked at that any. Has some issues there. Should we follow that? No. Well, I know we need to follow Dr. Phil. Right? Get on there. We're going to follow Dr. Phil. Well, I know who we need to follow. We need to follow Oprah. Follow Oprah, you know, and has a lot of things to say about raising kids. Better yet, the one who said it takes a village, let's follow Hillary Clinton and follow her. No, we're not to follow anyone. I know we'll follow you, Pastor. No, don't follow me. Don't follow me. We don't follow men. We follow Christ. And the Bible is very specific. Look back at Ephesians chapter 5. Men, as leaders of your home, you are to follow one person and one person alone. That is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. Our church doesn't follow worldly trends. Our church doesn't follow the world. our church follows the Bible, and Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 5. And Christ is to be the head of every single home, the head of every single Christian, and fathers, the head of you. If you follow Christ, you will lead your family in the right way. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's begin reading here. Now, we already looked at what the responsibilities of husbands love your wives, but we see a verse in there. Verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it may be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay? So what? Why? Because Christ loves the church. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Christ is the head. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So a parallel is given here. Husbands, you're to lead, and wives are to follow. Just like husband, you're supposed to follow Christ. The church, we're all supposed to follow Christ. Now, some people have it this. Oh, that means Christ, then the husband, and then the wife is supposed to follow the husband, and the husband dictates the spiritual life of the wife. No, every person is individually accountable to God for their relationship with him. Remember that. There's other verses about that. Don't have time to get into that. However, that's how some view that. No, the view is this. In the home, it is Christ, husband, mom, then children. It's not Christ, father, children, then mom. It's not Christ, mom, dad, then the kids, or any other combination you want. Or a lot of homes, it's dad, Christ, then mom. Or sometimes it's mom, dad, then Christ. Any other combination, it's wrong. It's supposed to be Christ, dad, mom, kids. That is the positions that God has assigned to them. Yes, and children have a position. You know what that is? To listen and obey. Amen. That's your position. That's your role. Do I have another role in the home? Nope. When you have your own home, you can be the leader. What are we to do? We must learn to follow the example of Christ. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. John chapter 10. He is the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't sit there and beat and wail on them, but he leads them. But an amazing and a very telling example given in John chapter 10 is that the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep, but the hireling will run. The hireling, he's just hired to do it. It's not, his heart isn't with the sheep. He'll just, if it's going to cost him his life, it's not worth the money to him. He's just going to run. And you know what? There are some dads who are hirelings. That, well, I didn't sign up for this. It's got too hard. It's not my responsibility anyway. I'm just going to do what I want. Follow the example of the good shepherd. You need to learn to follow Christ in your relationship to him. So, what are you waiting for? Do you hear the call of God this morning? If you're a father, or if you plan to be a father in the future after getting married. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's a big amen here for that. Young people, marriage, then children. Not children, then marriage. That is not the biblical model. Do you hear the call of God? He's calling to you right now. Do you know that your wife is calling to you as well if you're married? Your wife's calling and said, dear, please lead. Also, ladies, if you want your husbands to lead, then be ready to follow. Don't say, well, lead, and oh, he's going to make mistakes. You know that we make mistakes. Guys, you know, we make mistakes. No, I didn't know that. We don't make mistakes at all. We don't, you know that, you know, sometimes we get a big head. You know, sometimes we get arrogant. Sometimes we get proud. And you know what? Ladies, love them anyway. Amen? However, guys, you need to listen when your wife says, hey, we maybe need to pray about this. Well, she's trying to lead. No, she's trying to save you from a big mistake. She's trying to save you from embarrassing yourself. We're real good at that. Amen, guys? Okay, if we can't say amen to that, guys, we got a problem. Because we do a good job of that. We're like, hey, we're trying to do what's right. And we can make a fool of ourselves. Your wife's calling to you, though, if you're not, well, I don't want to lead. I don't want to do it. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. It is your job. It is your responsibility. So you better get in the Bible and pray to the Lord. Help me. It's your job. It's your calling. Remember what happens when we refuse the call of God? Calamity happens. Your children are calling to you. So, well, they never said that. They'll say that through their actions, through their questions. Don't let them down. Don't let them down. We need leaders today. We need leaders who will lead. We need leaders who will pray. We need leaders who will study the Word of God. We need leaders who will follow even when it's hard. We need leaders who will lay down their lives for the sheep you've been given. So what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for a better call. I have a different calling in life. I'm waiting for a better option. There's no better option than the calling of God. Amen. Whether that goes for ministry, that goes for fatherhood, motherhood, and there's a call for mothers as well in here. Or it's Father's Day. There's not a better option or better calling than God's. Don't neglect your calling. Dads, we have a heavy responsibility. You know, we'll all stand before God one day. And we will stand there and we will give an account of what kind of father we were. Well, I didn't ask to be a father. I didn't ask to be one. You're still responsible. Well, I wasn't supposed to be. You're still responsible. Well, I wasn't married when I had children. You're still responsible. Some people think if they're not married and have kids, they're not responsible for them. You are. You father them, they're your responsibility. That's why we have absent fathers. Why do we have absent fathers? Because the culture taught them to be that way. The culture taught them that. But the Bible teaches something different. Are we going to follow the Bible or what's going on in our world today? You want to see what our culture brings? Go down to downtown Killeen today and see what our culture brings. On the bus today, we're driving. It was an old Chinese restaurant. There's a woman passed out drunk on the front step. That's our culture. We're really going to go to them for how we father and how we raise our kids? What kind of father we're going to be? What kind of mother we're going to be? We need to go to God. And God has a calling for you, gentlemen. But are you willing to say, Lord, I am answering the call. I'm going to be the father that you want me to be, to lead and direct my kids, to lead and guide and direct them when they're 1 year old, when they're 2 years old, when they're 5, when they're 10, when they're 15, 18. I'm not responsible for them anymore. You're wrong. They're 20. Oh, I'm not responsible for them. They're 20, 21, 22. Oh, I'm not responsible for them anymore. You are. You'll always be responsible for them. You know that my mom and dad are still responsible for me? I'm 30 years old. I'm on my own. I have my own family. But guess what? If I'm going down the wrong path, they're still responsible to tell me that I am. And guess what? They still do. I never do anything wrong. You know, they never tell me I do anything wrong. Never, ever. My brother and my sister think I'm the perfect child. How many times have my parents rebuked me? I probably got more spankings than they did. You know, and I tell my mom something just going on in my life, even still. I tell my mom, hey, this, hey, that, and hey, what do you think of this? Mom, oh, I'm here. I know that, so I know that silence. That's, how do I say this without offending him? And so I said, well, what's the matter? Well, you might just want to think about that a little bit. I'm not telling you what to do, but you might want to think about that. Well, what? What is it? Then she'll tell me. You know what? She goes, oh, just go do it. Yeah, just do whatever you want, honey. It'll turn out right. In the back of my mind, she's like, well, he's going to find out. That's not being responsible. My dad told me many things, even after I was married, before he had a stroke, told me many things. That, hey, don't do that. Don't go in that direction. That's going to cause a problem. At 25 years old, you're still responsible for him, Dad. You always will be. Now, can you control what they do when they get out of your house? No, you can't. You sure can when they're in your house. Oh, well, they have their personal space. There was no such thing in my father's house. No matter how old I was, I came back 21, 22 years old, and my mom says, well, that wasn't true. Look, if my father chose to kick me out of the house, he could have done it. But he didn't. But for some reason, well, I don't have any control over my children's lives. Guess what? When I was there and I was going out, it was one time, 8 o'clock at night, I was in a junior in college. I'm just going out, and I don't usually go out at night. I was going to a friend's house, and it was 8 o'clock at night, and my dad said, where are you going? I was annoyed. I'm like, man, I go to college. I go out all the time. But I had to tell the college where I was going. But anyway, but I was in Christian college. But my dad said, where are you going? And he was sitting there on the couch watching the news, and I was walking out. I said, oh, I'm going out. Out where? To friend's place? Whose friend? Well, which friend? Okay, well, where do they live? And I was like, well, Dad, why do you care? I'm an adult. And I'll never forget this. Because I'm still your father, and you're still my son, and you live in my house. I can still decide where you go. I didn't like that. I told him where I was going. He goes, okay, that's fine. Be back by 11. Well, what if I want to stay out to 12 o'clock? You know, and I was like, well, what if I want to stay out later? So you can call and ask me. I mean, I'm 22 years old almost. And I'm like, man, what do you mean? And he said, I don't want you staying out late. That's how young people get in trouble. And you know what? I was back at 11. Because I didn't want to find out what happened if I got back at 11:05. Because I knew full well I might not have a place to live anymore. My mom said, oh, he would never have kicked you out. You sure put up a good front that he was going to, if I did, you know. But it's like, well, your father was harsh. No, he wasn't. He loved me. He knew it. But he expected something out of me. He didn't want me to go and mess my life up making a mistake. He didn't want me to go out and get into trouble. He didn't want me to go out and get in a car accident. He didn't want me to get around the wrong kind of friends. You know what he told me later? I don't want you to go to that house anymore. I don't like that guy. I was in college. And my dad came down. You know, guess what? When my parents came down, I would introduce them to all my friends. It's like, hey, here are all my friends. It's like, and then after I knew afterwards, I would get a critique of all of my friends. And I always had good friends. The one I brought to lunch one time, and they said, you know, that's a good friend. You need to keep her around. She's my wife now. He said, you need to marry her. Oh, Mom, it's not like that. End up marrying her. But they were right. There's also a couple of friends. I'm introduced her to one girl, and they're like, she's nice. Kids, that's a code. That's a code right there. She's nice. And there's silence afterwards. That's a code for forget it. And because, you know, I really cared about you, it's just, she's nice. She's nice. Right? That's all they could say about it. And eventually, later, this is story time at the end of my message, but for a reason. Later on, that same girl, about 3 months later, as I was having problems and different things, and we had started dating, and this girl had basically didn't want to spend any time with me and different things, and actually had done some, lied about some things, had gone with me to a fine arts performance at college, and then afterward just, oh, didn't know anything. And I just told my dad, what do I do? He goes, why are you calling me? He said, because you're my dad. He goes, I really have to tell you what to do. in this situation? He said, you told me all this. It's like really obvious. I know, Dad, it's just hard. He said, then go do what you need to do. And I went and I broke up with her. And she was so mad I broke up with her. But pretty much, in not so many words, my dad said, I told you I was concerned about her. We told you, but you chose not to listen. And you know what? I wish I had listened. I wish I had. There are some things I can say, I wish I had listened. You know, have I majorly messed my life up? No, but I made some mistakes I didn't need to make. Because my parents told me to do the right thing. But dads today are afraid to do that. I'll make my kids bitter. You're wrong. You'll make them bitter by not doing it. That's a lie. Well, I'll make them bitter. Oh, I'll do this. Or I'll push them away. You do right, and they'll do right. But if they do wrong, now there's a wrong way to lead and a right way to lead. That's a whole different message. But if you're leading the right way, you're leading the Bible way, and they reject it, it's on them, not on you. It's on them if they reject God's word. It's on them if they reject godly leadership and they rebel and do wrong. However, you do right. But I'm afraid to guide my kids. I'm afraid to lead them in the way. I'm afraid that I'm going to lead them in the wrong road. Then get in the Bible, start praying. So you don't lead them in the wrong road. If there's promises all through the Bible, if you seek God's word, He won't lead you wrong. Lead. Even when it's hard. Even when it's unpopular. Even when there are those against you. Even if you're outnumbered, just lead in the right way. There's a lot of peer pressure among parenting today. Well, everyone's going in this direction. That's great. I'm going in God's direction, even if I'm all by myself. Because when you see everybody going in this direction, it's probably the wrong one. Because when a direction's popular, there's usually a reason. Because following Christ is not popular. Now, it is at certain times. Different trends, it can be popular. But in Jesus' time, being a Christian, being a follower of Christ was not popular. It got you killed many times. Are we willing to lead and follow Christ even when it's unpopular? That's the type of leader we need in our families today. That's the type of leaders we need in our churches. Not afraid to storm the gates of hell. Not because we're arrogant. Not because we're strong. But because God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for my father that you gave to me. A godly man that taught me to love you, that taught me right from wrong, that taught me to work hard, that taught me not to quit, that taught me not to be afraid what people say, but to fear what the Lord thinks. And Lord, I pray that those fathers in here today, those that are listening, and those that will be fathers one day, that they listened clearly to this message today. That it's a calling. And when they hold their child for the first time in their arms, that calling comes crystal clear that you're responsible for this little life. You're responsible to lead them and to guide them. The Lord, when that you stand at that altar and marry the wife for the rest of your life, the responsibility and the calling to lead that woman, Lord, it's overwhelming. But Lord, you give strength and guidance. And I pray that that calling of fatherhood would be real and clear and strong, and that we have ears to hear it, Lord, this morning. It's a loud call from your word. I pray, dear Lord, this morning that we would heed it, that we would follow it, and that we would do what you say to do, to follow you, not to follow men, not to follow the world, but to follow you in all that we do, to give you glory. I pray that the gentleman this morning would heed your call. And Lord, many have done that, have made that decision in their life, and I praise you for it. I pray that they be encouraged in it, but maybe some haven't made that decision, or maybe some have strayed away from that decision. I pray that they would come to you today and that they would re-solidify that call in their life and respond to that call and return to the place of leadership in their homes, in the church, and in their lives, Lord. They will lead the way you would have them to, and lead in the direction you would have them to go. Guide and direct this invitation, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.